Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Now you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we talk about, and any of the free downloads that I mention. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details. This episode is sponsored by Hue at huehd.com. Hue makes colorful, affordable document cameras and animation software for creative teaching and homeschooling, including the new 1080p Hue HD Pro camera. Hue is happy to be participating in ISTE Virtual this year. Make sure you check out the Virtual Solutions partner page for information, freebies, videos, and giveaways. Head over to the Hue Cameras account on Instagram or Twitter for a chance to win. This week's episode is titled, What You Need to Know About EdTech in the Library, and I'm so excited to have Casey Boyd join today. We first connected on Clubhouse. She shared some awesome tips in one of my rooms, and it was wonderful to have her jump on the podcast and talk more about her work and the way that technology plays an important role in the work of librarians and media specialists. Let's jump in. Welcome. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today to talk about this topic of EdTech in the library, using technology in different spaces and the work that librarians and media specialists do. Thank you so much for joining today, Casey.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I'd love to start off by hearing a little bit about your role in education. Can you share with us a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like?
Sure. This is my 23rd year working in education. I've worked in the K-12 school districts, 3 total across the country, and I've worked in various roles as a school librarian. And I've also worked in central office in 2 districts as a district librarian. So it's been very, very interesting experience and also career working in this field. My role in education is very simple, which is I am the motivator, the encourager, the agitator of children to get them motivated and get them more engaged in reading. And it has been a really wonderful experience working with children in all the years that I've worked in education, and just seeing that light bulb go off above the heads of kids when they finally connect to a book that they are really, really excited about. So my role in education is to support my teachers, my school community in moving the needle in terms of working with kids and pushing them towards educational excellence. So in terms of the day-to-day, it varies. Anything can happen. To be a school librarian in today's education system, you have to be multitask oriented, and you must be very patient and understanding and have a really great sense of humor, because sometimes you have a little bit of everything that's thrown at you, and you have to handle it with grace, understanding, and like I said, a lot of patience.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about some of the folks that I know who are in the library space, either in a public library setting. One of my good friends worked in public libraries for a long time, or in a school base. And just like you said, the flexibility, the patience, the all the things, right, or all the hats that are often worn by people in that role. You know, it's interesting to get that perspective. And, you know, I'm curious to hear from you a little bit around the technology piece, right? On this podcast, mm-hmm. we focus a lot on education technology. And I know from my visits to schools and conversations with different educators, it's often the person in the library or the person who has that media specialist role who is finding things or sharing things or doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to education technology. So I'd love to hear from you. How does education technology, ed tech, play a role in the work librarians and media specialists do?
Yeah, and that's a really big misunderstanding about the work that we do is that people oftentimes think we just check out books and show books. I classify it this way. My role is 60-40, meaning 60% is print and the 40% is digital technologies. And this is where the public and the school libraries really, really differ is because we are teachers. We have certification in education. The school librarians understand the curriculum. Oftentimes they're on the committees that help drive the curriculum. And with that, we really understand the needs of our school, our students that we're working with. One of the main areas is technology today, and we can't do anything without technology. So the first thing that I am really engaged in with my students is digital citizenship, digital literacies. And the reason being is that our students are thrown a tremendous amount of material online. Some of it is credible, some of it is not credible. And for example, the child who is a middle schooler, they have a hard time figuring out what's actually true or what is not true. So this is where your school librarian comes in, is that we help and guide them. We have a lot of different activities and lessons that really help students gain a stronger understanding in terms of using credible sources, digital technology, in terms of literacy in the classroom that can be applied to all areas of the curriculum. So that's one area, which is digital citizenship. The second biggest area is we work with students with conducting simple research projects, activities, just simple searches online to gain understanding, find information on things that they have questions about or either they need to complete an assignment for. How do we do it? We encourage our students to use research databases. That goes without saying because, you know, any student can use a Google search to find information, but is this a credible source? Is it reliable? Is it age appropriate? You know, these are things that oftentimes pop up and oftentimes our school administrators feel, oh, we can have somebody else in the building do it. But that's a tremendous amount of work to put on a classroom teacher to have all these responsibilities that really you have the trained school librarian that can actually fulfill this. So I love using a lot of different research databases with the students because it helps them just become a little more inquisitive about the work that they're seeking information for. And it has them become a little more focused in their learning. And they understand that, hey, if I don't understand the answer to a particular question, then I know I can use this source or this source or this source to find the answer. So that's really important. The last part of this is that ebook technologies, especially with this pandemic, my school district is still partially hybrid. And so one of the main areas is that we want our students to continue to read. So we invested even more monies into ebook technologies, not just ebooks, but audiobooks, you know, are really hot with kids. And they're really a new frontier for a lot of our students to venture into because many of them didn't know much about audiobooks or they kind of heard it, you know, but they didn't realize that, wow, I could still listen to an audiobook like I did when I was in third grade. You know, and these are my, you know, eighth graders that have gotten really excited about listening to their favorite books. They've read them, but now they're listening to them in an audio version, you know, so that's a lot of fun for them. So our work is very vast, it's very wide. It obviously goes across the curriculum and we impact so much within the school community. And we also support our parents in supporting their child in their education advancements as they continue on all the way up to 12th grade. So that's our goal. And that's why we're here, to do the work.
And there's so many layers to what you just talked about. And I think that 60-40 ratio really kind of helps wrap my head around, right, what that looks like in terms of print versus digital. Because, you know, when you talked about the research component, if you walk into a library and you pick up a book, you have this feeling like, oh, this has been vetted, right? There's some level of authority here for this book. But if you're jumping into, whether or not that's completely accurate, of course, right? But, you know, you have a different sense of jumping into a text. When you are in a digital space, having all those media literacy skills, using digital citizenship to vet and evaluate different sources. I mean, hearing about that and what a big part of your role is, you know, I think that aligns with some of the things around the research projects, kids being curious about different things. So, right, having all of those components is so interesting. And you know, you mentioned the audiobooks and the ebooks. I think that's when we first connected on Clubhouse, was talking about the ebooks and audiobooks pieces.
Right.
And I still catch myself as a reader saying, oh, I read that book. Oh no, actually I listened to it, right? As if there's something different or wrong about those reading experiences. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned that idea of, right, a student might listen to a book they've already read in a different way, or they've heard read aloud. So I'm curious, when it comes to these ebooks and audiobooks, you know, there's just so many tech-friendly resources for student readers. Do you have some favorite platforms or ones you recommend even to families who might be outside of the system?
In terms of ebook platforms?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really like Sora. Sora is one that is an application that was adopted by my district late last year, during the last school year. And the beauty of it is that it combines the public and the school library collections. So in other words, my district manager purchased a ton of ebooks through COVID-19 funds. Okay. And from that point, then he said, okay, now we have our district ebook collection. Then he partnered with the DC Public Library and tapped into their ebook collection. Now you have over 40,000 titles just for kids, K-12, you know? And so again, they've all been vetted, they're age appropriate. You know, these are books that kids will read. That's the real big difference here. These are books that kids will read, and it gives the student a tremendous amount of options, you know, in terms of their reading. And it's not just as in many cases with the titles, it's not just one title or one copy of that book per title. Like, for example, New Kid is a very popular graphic novel that kids are crazy about, especially at the middle school level. There might be like 15 to 20 copies of that same title in the system, which is really, really nice. But I also want to say this, is that it's interesting with kids. They're still funny. You would think a lot of these kids are 100%, oh, ebook technologies is my way to go. I still have a percentage of kids that still want to pick up a print book. So during this time of the pandemic, I was still providing print books at my school. So if students wanted to come and get a print book that they could keep for their personal libraries, because once they received it, I said, okay, you get to keep it. It's yours. You know, and I got these books through donations, through various means. They got to keep the books. They were really happy with it. So they have a nice blend of both, but I find that the kids really like the ebook platform because it's a little faster and user-friendly for the impatient middle schooler. Mm-hmm. So Sora is one of them, obviously, that is really a big plus. The second one that has just been introduced to my school district, but I'm really, really excited about it. And it's called Reading Ally. And that's Ally, A-L-L-Y. And Reading Ally is an audiobook application for kids to read K through 12th grade. Now, what makes this a little different is that Reading Ally is really hitting those sensory points with kids who might be colorblind, kids who might have a sight impairment, kids that might be more auditory learners than visual learners. I mean, it goes on and on and on with Reading Ally. And then the other thing that I like about it is that the books selected within the catalog, they are the actual like top tier books, like books that have been released within the last month or so. They automatically appear in the catalog, just like with Sora. But the nice thing is that you can really connect Reading Ally with the classroom. And this is where the benefit comes in, because there's an annotation feature. There's the annotation feature, which is really nice. It could be changed, altered any way for the student, especially if the student has a sight impairment. They can change colors and everything. You know, the kids can customize it to their liking. And that's the main thing about Reading Ally that I like, that I'm really looking forward to. This is going to be an ongoing tool that we're going to be using in the district. And I'm just plain excited for the fall for us to use it.
Oh gosh, I love the pairing of the audiobooks with the ebooks and having that as, you know, two different kinds of options, but complementary options for students. And, you know, what you said about the print books, right, being a preference for some students and that being the kind of books that they gravitate towards or the ones that they want. You know, I'm curious if you are working with a, you know, a group of teachers who are really comfortable teaching towards print books and having that as a resource. Just earlier this week, I was working with some New York teachers and we were talking about, right, there's a lot of similarities, but there's some specific differences to helping students in an ebook or a digital space or even audiobooks. Are there certain tips that you like to share with teachers who might be starting to use ebooks or audiobooks for the first time with their students?
Well, whoever is the lead on this, first of all, I think that the trainer, it has to remember that you have to give time for people to have that learning curve, because this is new. And in my experience working with teachers, especially introducing new concepts, I love my teachers, but sometimes they're the slowest ones to kind of get on board with certain things. But when they really see the educational benefits and they see that this is a sturdy program, and of course, the district is going to continuously fund it, they're more apt to jump on board and be more active participant. And then they champion, which I really appreciate those particular applications. So on the teacher side, I say this: give yourself grace, give yourself time to make mistakes, to learn in it. Learn as much as you can, practice as much as you can before you introduce it to the kids, because the kids are going to take to it very quickly and they will probably outpace you. And I know that sometimes you have some people in education that say that, well, I like to learn along with my students. I think that's great too, but I think that you should have some level of mastery of the application before it's introduced to the students. And then last but not least is that look at this as this is another option that students can use for reading. You might have been hitting the wall with other strategies that you have been utilizing in the past. Maybe this might be the breakthrough that's needed. My nephew is autistic and he absolutely loves ebooks. And I find that to be very interesting because when I started looking at the bigger picture, my nephew loves being in control. And that was the main thing with ebooks, is that he's more in control and he has more of a selection. So that's just his learning style. He's more of a visual learner. So if this is working for him, he loves the color graphics and animation that he, or illustrations that he sees in the books, as well as he loves to listen to the narration that is by an actual person and not a computer. And that's a huge, huge difference a lot with audiobooks. So these are areas that I see that can be pluses and wins that, you know, teachers can get students engaged with, you know, platforms like Sora or Reading Ally.
And what a good point about just the narration piece. I think some of these resources have come a long way, but an audiobook is going to have that, right? Natural narration. And some ebook tools have that, right? Especially for more popular tools. But, you know, that kind of choppy reading, you sure it's gotten better, but it's not quite maybe where it exactly needs to be. So I think you've given us just so much to think about in terms of the role of someone who's working within a library space, right? A media specialist, a librarian, and all the ways that they support student readers throughout the school day and throughout the school year. Some really great resources to consider whether you're in a classroom or you're coaching or you're working with students in different ways. And before we finish up, Casey, I'd love to hear a little bit more. You know, tell us more about your work. Where can listeners connect with you and just learn more if they want to follow up or follow along with you?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I'm everywhere. I got my hand into a little bit of everything. I look at my calendar from week to week, and sometimes I kind of taken back about some of the things that I'm involved with. It is either through promoting African-American self-published authors. That's one of the reasons why I'm on Clubhouse. And I think that's how we connected as well, you know, in one of those rooms. I run a room on Clubhouse. It's called Boss Librarian with Friends. And it's Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central. And it is 7 p.m. Eastern. And it's just a bunch of librarians from across the country. Get together, we talk about school libraries and strategies, different things that we're doing. And then, of course, we love talking about books. I do a lot of advocacy work. I keynote for a lot of school, state, library associations. And of recent, I'm starting to get a lot of reading associations that are asking me to come in and speak to talk about various issues around getting kids engaged in reading, in particular, kids that are reluctant and struggling readers. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems to be a common thread and trend that I'm starting to see with requests. I love social media. Social media has been very helpful to me. It's my number one PLN. Mm-hmm. It's how I'm able to connect to other people. And I learn a lot. And like I said, I've been doing this 23 years. I'm a second generation teacher, but that does not mean that I know everything. So I still learn new things every day. And I have just that mindset of, you know, today's a new day. I'm going to master something different. I'm going to learn something different, and I'm going to step in it, and I'm going to do my best. So that's kind of where I'm at with in that mindset. I blog as well. You can connect to me through my website, which is caseyboyd.com. I also have links to, you'll probably have it in the show notes, mm-hmm. the Sociotap link, which will take you to all of my social media accounts. So I'm pretty much a little bit everywhere, not just in tech, but also in the print world and the library world. Love what I do. And love just playing around with different applications like Buncee, Canva. Nearpod is my favorite, especially using that in instruction. You know, so I love promoting these tools when I give presentations around the country, because I feel that as educators, if we use these tools, we will be able to reach our students a little deeper. So, but last thing I would like to say is that there are threats to school library programs across the country. Oftentimes when budget cuts come down, the library programs are usually the first one on the chopping block. And what I find is sometimes there's a lack of understanding exactly about what we do. So that's why I appreciate this platform, is that, you know, to explain that, you know, we wear multiple hats. So if you are supportive of school libraries and school library programming, and you would like to support that work that we do, I am a board member with Every Library, which is a political action grassroots organization that supports libraries across the country. Please log on to safeschoollibraries.org and sign one of the active petitions. There's always one that's online. There's one for my district, for DC Public School Systems, to make sure that kids have access to a certified school librarian and a flourishing school library program. So if you could sign any of the petitions, librarians across the country would be very much so appreciative. Thank you.
No, that's wonderful. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I will make sure to put the link there to that website, as well as your social media pages, so people can continue to connect with you on Clubhouse, on Instagram, on all the places. So thank you so much for your time today, Casey.
Thank you. Have a good one.
It was so much fun having Casey jump on the podcast and share her perspective around the role of technology in the library. And I'm sure that you got some great gems from this conversation. Let's finish up this episode like we always do with tips for making this EdTech easy. First, think about ways to promote media literacy. Next, try a new digital tool to engage readers. Then differentiate reading experiences with ebooks and audiobooks. And finally, collaborate with a school librarian or media specialist on digital citizenship skill building. Now you can find all the information on how to best connect with Casey wherever you're listening to this episode. You can always go to classtechtips.com/podcast or go to classtechtips.com and click the podcast button at the top of the screen and search for episodes like this one, number 117 with Casey Boyd. A big thank you to today's sponsor, Hue, at huehd.com. Hue makes colorful, affordable document cameras and animation software for creative teaching and homeschooling, including the new 1080p Hue HD Pro camera. Hue is happy to be participating in ISTE Virtual this year. Make sure you check out the Virtual Solutions partner page for information, freebies, videos, and giveaways. Head over to the Hue Cameras on Instagram or Twitter for a chance to win. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details or send me a DM on Instagram at classtechtips and tell me you want the newsletter link and I'll make sure to send it right back to you. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. Check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.